Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast for Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I'm your host, Wim Liu, speaking to you after the Toronto Raptors defeat the Washington Wizards by a score of 109-105 to conclude their five-game road trip. Unfortunately, they were 2-3, but outside of that Pistons game, all pretty acceptable results based on how hard the Raptors competed. And a lot to like about this game. The Raptors going to Washington. First off, this was an important game because of the fact that, you needed to win the tiebreaker. The Wizards are probably going to be in that play-in mix just along with the Raptors, and that's exactly what happened here. And the Raptors are now 3-1 on the season against Washington, avenging for that home opener where the Raptors scored like 80-something points. Raptors could have easily won that one, except for the fact that they scored 80-something points. Their defense was good. Their offense was horrendous. But since then, they have, totally handled the Wizards. And quite honestly, speaking about this game in particular, the Raptors do this to the Wizards all the time. So the Raptors win 109-105 against the Washington Wizards. I don't know how many times or how long you've been a Raptor fan, but every single Raptor fan, when they think about Raptors-Wizards, I mean, outside of 2015, which was very regrettable, but outside of that, the Raptors have this habit of going to Washington, okay, toying around a little bit, whatever. They might be behind, they might be ahead, but at the end of the game, it would be close. It's always very dramatic at the end, and then the Raptors come out on top. The Raptors have just really, really handled the Wizards of late. Even just thinking back to last year, Gary Trent Jr., the game winner after Raul Neto flopped. Earlier this year, Fred VanVleet in the fourth quarter, a number of key jumpers to beat the Wizards in a tight game. What else can I say? Corey Joseph from the corner. Like Chris Bosh. Like there's just the Raptors just love beating the Wizards. This is another example of that, where the Raptors, I would say, play really good basketball second and third quarter. They got into a really nice rhythm. They got off to a poor start. They were down 30-20. The Wizards were out-hustling them. The Raptors just didn't look like their legs were in it. They didn't look like they were fully engaged. And you can know that because of the fact that the Raptors are usually the ones who hunt down the offensive rebounds. The Raptors are usually the ones forcing the other teams into turnovers. And instead, the Wizards were all over the Raptors at the start. And the Raptors kind of just let that happen. A lot of putbacks for the Wizards, a lot of open threes. It's like, okay, what's going to happen here? Are you really going to do this? But the Raptors' second and third quarters, they were excellent scoring, 35 in the third, 36 in the 35 in the second, 36 in the third. And that allowed them to build up an 18-point lead, which looked comfortable. Don't get me wrong, that looked comfortable. But again, just knowing the history of the Raptors-Wizards thing, it's going to get close at the end of the game. You're really going to sweat a little bit. You're like, oh man, are we really going to lose to the Wizards? And the answer usually is no, you're not going to lose to the Wizards, because the Raptors, having blown the entire 18-point lead, they take a bad shot. They couldn't get the shot to drop. Fred airballed after the Raptors just couldn't execute on a possession there. That Fred had to bail them out just with the last second shot. I mean, there was no bailout. You just airballed the shot. That's not a bailout. But still, the offense was not working to the point where Fred had to take a real contested shot, airballed it. And then the Wizards went the other way in transition. The Raptors weren't even back. And they were able to find Montrezl Harrell streaking ahead of the play for dunk. He's hanging on the rim. He's screaming. Montrezl Harrell, very passionate, very enthusiastic human being. Came in, actually made some pretty big plays in the fourth quarter, a key putback. That breakaway dunk, a block at the rim on OG, a steal at the basket, like a lot of big plays from Montrez. Okay, so I can, and also he's just a guy who loves hyping himself up, loves playing up to the crowd. So he dunks it. The Raptors are tied now with a minute left. Nick Nurse calls the timeout. And the issue that the Raptors were facing in the fourth quarter was that the Wizards transitioned to a zone defense. Now, it's not like the Raptors can't beat a zone. It's not like the Raptors didn't see a zone before, especially since the Wizards played a zone in the first half. The Raptors were able to do a good job of getting some decent shots in the zone. They found OG Anunoby for a little turnaround jumper once he cut into the middle of the zone, which is exactly what you're supposed to do. Get into the middle of the zone, touch the paint, catch the ball. And, if they break out of that zone to try to come up to you, then you sort of kick it out. But otherwise, you have a lot of space in the middle of the floor where there's no set defender on you, and you should be able to shoot that shot. And the Raptors just couldn't really execute their offense. And I would say, some of those were open shots, so they couldn't get to fall. Some of those were like, OG Anunoby gets a wide open three, and he misses it. And then Chris Boucher flies in for the putback and tries to flush it and misses it, or Gary Trent Jr. has a open three and he misses it, or, you know, whatever. But the Raptors just couldn't really generate offense in the fourth quarter. At one point, they were 5 of 20 in the fourth from the field, which is quite bad. But Nick calls this timeout. What are we going to do against the zone? One thing you do against the zone, screen against the zone. Okay, so what do they get out of the timeout? They correctly anticipate that the Wizards stay in their zone. Right. If I were the Wizards coach, I would have actually gone to a man. Not saying like I'm smarter than the Wizards coach. I'm just saying, like, I've seen Nick, for example, a lot of times you'll have success with one defense, like, let's say a zone. And then coming out of the timeout, when the coaches try to address that, they'll come out and switch up specifically to a man just to negate the play that was drawn up. In any case, though, the Wizards stay in the zone. Totally acceptable decision considering they're having great success with it. And the Raptors walk the ball up, swing the ball around. And then what they get is Pascal Siakam setting a screen so that Fred can get to his right hand, his preferred spot on the floor. And the Wizards were unprepared for this. That screen, it was really just one person guarding two players, considering, you know, that's a zone. Like, they're covering the top side of the floor there. There's one defender there. And Pascal with a nice screen, Fred with the all the confidence in the world to pull up for three. I mean, there's a late contest, but, you know, Fred was fairly open and he made it. You know, and that put the Raptors up three. Then the Raptors, they get a stop on the other end. Some pretty good defense on that front. The Raptors defensively in the fourth quarter, I thought, were actually pretty decent. Like, they gave up a couple of putbacks and transition opportunities. But outside of that, like, their actual half-court defense had a lot of really good defensive moments, whether that was Gary Trent Jr. stripping the ball from Spencer Dinwiddie on a drive, poking it out of bounds, whether it's OG Anunoby, a lot of moments of individual brilliance defending Bradley Beal, who was a really tough assignment. And the funny thing with OG is, actually, I remember back in the start of the 2019 season, I was at Media Day, and, you know, last second, the Raptors PR kind of fulfilled my request to go talk to a player. And they're like, okay, you're going to have OG Anunoby in about 20 minutes, and you get him for 5 minutes. Are you cool with that? I'm like, oh, yeah, of course. I'm not going to turn this down. But I was like, okay, what can I come up with in 20 minutes? And also, what am I going to do with 5 minutes of talking to OG Anunoby? He clearly is a guy who is a man of very few words. So I came up with the idea of just, I'm going to write down every single possible question I have and then rapid fire ask him. And it ended up being a video called 25 Questions with OG Anunoby. One of the questions I asked him was, who are the three toughest players to guard for you in the NBA? And he said LeBron, he said KD, and then the third guy he said was Bradley Beal, which I thought was really interesting, but it's also, you know, makes sense because as a rookie, OG Anunoby was matched up with Bradley Beal quite a bit. This is the 2018 season when they went to the playoffs, right? And OG in that first round, the Raptors played the Wizards, was guarding Bradley Beal. Beal had some pretty nice moments in that series. So OG is a guy who really respects Beal. But over the years, I've really seen OG's defense improve, especially on this specific assignment. He really keys in on it. And the possessions where OG was one-on-one guarding Beal, the way he was able to move his feet, the way he was able to contest, it was genuinely so impressive. There was a play. I mean, this was a late play. There's only like about 1 point seconds left, and the Wizards were inbounding out of the baseline. But they did call a timeout to draw something up. They got the ball to Beal. And Beal tried to get separation against OG, and OG blocked the jumper, and it turned out to be air ball. Like, you know, those kind of sequences. On top of the fact that OG had a key defensive rebound there, and a couple other key plays. And, of course, in the last possession on the Raptors, offensively, before the Wizards went to the intentional fouling, they get the ball to Scotty Barnes in the post. Scotty had a great game today, career high, was really efficient. But he didn't actually score from pretty much the midway through the third quarter onward, right? He finished with 27. He had 27 midway through the third. They finally get Scotty a touch, and he had not touched the ball for a while, so it was a little bit cold. But still, they got him in the touch in the situation that he had played well in throughout the course of the game, which was that he would try to get in the post against a guard. In the first half, Scotty Barnes kept looking for Corey Kispert and kept bullying that man. He posted him up 3, 4, 5 times easily. And he was intentionally seeking him out. The Raptors were very smart to go to him. The other ways that Scotty was scoring was a lot of, like, you know, Fred drives, draws two defenders because the Wizards are usually in a drop coverage, get off the screen, able to get downhill. And then when the second defender comes up, pop it over to Scotty, and then Scotty would do a really good job of finishing around the basket, whether hook shots or whatever, right? But a lot of, like, and-one situations, just he played great. They finally got Scotty the ball again in the fourth quarter in the last minute there. He's got 5 seconds left, isolation against Spencer Dinwiddie. Now, Spencer's not small, right? He's not like Kispert. Kispert is also, like, technically 6'6", but I don't know. Like, Spencer is just, like, more physical. Obviously, he's a veteran. He knows how to play. I think he has longer arms as well. But in any case, Scotty clearly has a size mismatch, and it was a one-on-one kind of situation, right? and Scottie goes to the turnaround jumper. He misses it, unfortunately. But guess who was there for the offensive rebound? It's OG Anunoby, who came in from the wing undetected and was able to complete the play, and that was huge. The Raptors' offense in the fourth quarter clearly wasn't up to snuff for a long period of it, and they needed that from OG Anunoby, and they got that, which was able to give the Raptors a 5-point advantage. The Wizards came down. I think Montrezl Harrell hit a running 3-point shot. That's not his game whatsoever, but okay, he hit one. He also hit a jumper along the baseline of the fourth quarter. I mean, he had a really nice fourth for a guy who wasn't in the rotation at the start, because the starting center was Daniel Gafford, which is normal. And then they brought Thomas Bryant, who's fresh off of injury, came in. He was the first center. He wasn't very effective, so I guess they switched over to Harrell. But I don't know if Harrell wants to be the third string center. Let me just say that much. I think if this continues, the Wizards might look to trade Harrell, and Harrell might look to request a trade. But in any case, the Raptors were able to close the game, and even despite Washington's best efforts, and you know, they'll scare you sometimes. Bradley Beal opened the quarter, 7-0 run. It was like, oh wow, okay, damn. Like, you know, he's really heating up here. They got to call the timeout, very smart timeout. Make sure you got a handle on Bradley. And they got a handle on Bradley. Let me just read you Bradley Beal's stat line here. 10 of 19 from the field, pretty good, right? He's really good at scoring in the in-between areas. 1 of 3 from three, right? It was a step-back three that he made, which was very impressive. I think that was in the fourth quarter there. So he didn't make a three until the fourth quarter, which is really good defense. He had 8 assists, which makes sense because he's the main ball handler, right? I mean, I would say Spencer has it a little bit too, but, you know, Spencer played more off-ball than he did on the ball. And Spencer had a really good night shooting the three, 5 of 7. He's not shooting the three well this season. That's never been the main strength of his game. But, you know, he had 8 assists. Bradley Beal had 9 turnovers in 40 minutes. When do you see a player have 9 turnovers? That is an absurd number. So the Raptors were really able to pressure him. And there was a lot of, like, weird stuff in between. Like, Gary Trent Jr., for example, really good ball pressure, was able to trap Bradley Beal in the corner with a surprise double, was able to strip it, keep the ball alive. Raptors get out of transition. They score. Bradley Beal got caught a couple times and just over the back fouls. Like, the Wizards committed 3 over and back fouls, which is really weird. 2 of those were by Gary Trent Jr. pressing the ball and pressuring them near half court, maybe catching them by surprise. But seriously, 3 times? Like, that's borderline unprofessional. Like, it's... come on. Anyway, but in any case, Raptors did a really good job pressuring Beal, and they showed different looks, whether that was Fred, you know, pressing up on him, whether that was Gary Trent pressing up on him. You know, Fred with a different approach in terms of he's quicker, he's able to stay in front, he's able to keep Bradley in front. The thing is, he doesn't have the size, so maybe a help defender comes over. Gary, much more handsy, trying to strip at the ball. You know, even if Bradley drives past, strip from behind, kind of stuff. And then OG Anunoby with just like your traditional wing stopper length to put on Beal, the quickness, the fact that he's played this assignment so many times, he has the muscle memory to know how to cover Bradley. And the Raptors, that was the key thing for the Raptors. I mean, the rest of the Wizards actually did a fairly good job in terms of like creating some offense. I thought, whether that was Spencer Dinwiddie just pulling up for random threes and hitting them, he had 5 of 7 from three for 17 points. You know, he was, and a lot of those were late shot clock situations, contested ones. There's one in the fourth quarter he just pulled up randomly. Even though Gary Trent Jr. was right up on him, it was late shot clock. Spencer, I'm not even sure if he could see the rim. He just chucked it up and it went in. Well, good for him, you know. But the rest of the Wizards actually did a decent job of creating something. You know, Harrell giving them a boost in the fourth quarter. Rui Hachimura hitting a ton of jumpers, although he seems to love the jumper a little too much. And for a big man, I don't think he went inside like even once today. Just a lot of mid-range jumpers. It's like a Japanese Carlos Boozer. What else? KCP, you know, doing his thing, yelling at the refs, never getting a tech. Okay, that's fine. I guess you got to give a champion respect. But yeah, I mean, you know, the main thing with Washington is you try to slow down Beal. And if you turn him over 9 times, like the Raptors did, that was a really good job. And I think, look, for the Raptors, I'm really impressed with sort of a couple of things with the team. I think, number one, they're able to really pick up their energy, pick up their intensity after a really sluggish start in the first quarter, where Nick had to call the timeout, the first timeout, which is usually a sign that he's not happy, right? What did he do? The Wizards came out, were up 10-2, and they got an open corner three. They broke down on a trap for Bradley Beal at the top of the floor. Bradley was able to make the pass over the top. Nobody tags the roller, and they get in for a dunk. And then it happened again to Gafford, where he got a layup, another open three. Like, just bad defense, right? And a lot of that was on Scotty Barnes, who was covering Gafford and, you know, these switches and sort of blitzing and rotating. Like, he just wasn't able to pick it up on time. And so at the 10-minute mark, Nick Nurse calls timeout, and he got Scotty Barnes out of the game at that point. That's a super early substitution for Scotty Barnes. Now, granted, Scotty is usually a guy who gets subbed out first when they have the regular starting lineup, which is the fact that they have Gary back in the lineup today. They have Fred. They have OG at three, Pascal four, and then Scotty at five. Usually the first sub is Scotty, right? But the thing is, it'll usually come a little bit later, like first TV timeout around 7 minutes or 6 minutes, that kind of thing. And they'll usually get him in for a center. But Nick was already very unhappy with it. So 2 minutes in, he calls timeout and then gets Scotty out of the game. Now, I thought it was really impressive on two fronts. Number one, the Raptors defense was able to sort of just lock in a little bit better. I thought in the second and third quarters, really where they hit their groove, forced the Wizards into a ton of turnovers. The Wizards had 9 turnovers in the second quarter as the Raptors won by 11 points. Like, they really pulled ahead in that stretch. They were able to get out in transition, do a lot of good things. The Raptors had a little bit of zone as well, but just in general, really good pressure defense to put themselves up at halftime after being down 10 after the first quarter. Then the third quarter, the Raptors continued to play well. But really, I was curious to see how Scotty would respond to that. Because as you remember, at the end of the Dallas game, which everyone remembers, it was a painful game. But still, at the end of that Dallas game, he makes that mistake with not closing out to Luka, right? And it was a really perplexing thing. How do you respond from that? Well, apparently Scotty was one of the first people in the gym today, which was great. Great to know, right? He came in, went to the warm-ups. Now, he started the game, made a couple of mistakes. And Nick Nurse said, you know what? Calm down for a sec, and we're going to put you back in the game, but just calm down for a sec. Make sure you know your personnel. Make sure you know your assignments. Make sure you know what coverages we're doing, and then we'll get you back in the game. And now that's exactly what Nick did. And that's really good coaching. That's really good coaching, because we've seen this happen a couple of times with Nick, where he'll take Scotty out when he's a little overhyped, a little, you know, mistake prone or whatever. Get him refocused, put him back in the game. And that's exactly what happened. Scotty Barnes, from that point onwards, locked in. He was really efficient. And as I mentioned earlier, the Raptors were able to find him so often in situations where Scotty was posting up and he was making sure to post up and collect the ball and demand the ball. And the thing is, like, that's what Nick has always wanted from Scotty, right? Yes, you know, you play within the scope of the offense. Yes, you can do that little cute Marc Gasol thing at the top of the floor. It's nice. It's important. You know, it's good to play different roles. It's good that he's unselfish. It's good that he can do all this other stuff. But realistically, what the Raptors need from Scotty Barnes is for him to be aggressive, attack these mismatches. Here's the thing: when you start pretty much 4, 6, 8 guys with Fred, and then when you go to the bench, it's literally 5, 6, 8 guys. There's a size mismatch somewhere, and it's usually gonna be in the post where you hurt the size mismatch. And so every single game, there's gonna be teams that will just have a regular set of players, and the way they're gonna guard, they're gonna have some mismatches. And today, that mismatch was Corey Kispert, a rookie, a shooting guard, guarding Scotty Barnes. And the Wizards were not a very help-conscious team. This is a team that plays traditional drop-back defense. They'll help in the paint, but for the most part, they're going to do what they do. At the end of the game, at least they transition to a zone, so there's like a different variety. But generally speaking, very, very stay-at-home kind of defense, right? And we've seen this throughout the course of the season against the Wizards. This is kind of how they play defense all year. The Raptors have played them a ton so far. So if you're going to do that, then you're playing one-on-one in the post against a guy who's small. So Scotty, you know, was insistent and he demanded the ball. He worked for early post position. He was, you know, really getting himself hyped up, and he just got into a great rhythm. And then also with the fact that the Wizards playing in this drop defense, right, the Raptors just needed to set a good screen, get Fred going downhill. And once Fred just did a really great job of setting up the plays for today. And I think he had 6 assists to Scotty. Because it was so many times where he would drive downhill, draw the second big over, and then find Scotty. Or even in transition, keep your dribble alive, let the play develop, let people cut, boom, find Scotty behind the defense for a dunk. Like, Scotty today scored 27 points. I mean, outside of one show-and-go jumper, which I think was his last basket, where it was a late shot clock situation, the Raptors gave it to him. He was going against KCP, right? That's another guy who's shorter than him, although better defender than Kispert. But still, going against KCP, show and go at the elbow, and then was able to go up for the little jumper. You know, outside of that, it was mostly flip shots, it was mostly dunks, hook shots, or whatever. But I thought Scotty's finishing around the basket was really great. He's got a really soft touch, so he's able to put it on the rim, even if it doesn't go in through, like switch right through. Like, it's so soft on the rim, it's going to generally bounce in. And I just thought he did a really great job of positioning himself, using a variety of hook shots, little push shots. He had one where Fred worked a pick and roll with him. He short rolled in the middle of the floor, caught the ball, and, you know, taking about a step in from the free throw line, a little push shot, was able to make that as well. He played great, and I thought he really locked in, really got engaged. And I thought even defensively, he was a lot better. Yes, there were a couple of other breakdowns, but generally speaking, I thought Scotty's defense was a lot better too. So Scotty was able to turn it around, and with that, the Raptors were able to turn it around. And honestly, when Scotty became less involved in the offense because of the fact that the Wizards took away a lot of these driving lanes, changed up their defense, the Raptors weren't able to find Scotty as much within the same looks. No more Corey Kispert in the second half, no more post-ups in the second half, a lot more zone. You're not going to post up against the zone. You're not going to be able to drive downhill off a pick and roll and get, you know, dump off passes to Scotty. So they had a harder time finding Scotty in the second half, especially in the fourth quarter. And coincidentally, that's also when they had a harder time with the scoring. But then again, the Raptors were able to get it done. And I thought this was a really good performance from Fred VanVleet. And also Pascal gave them some very key baskets. OG, you know, did his thing. Gary Trent Jr. was really nice in his return. And the rest of the guys are pretty much the rest of the guys. So, you know, I'm going to talk about all that. But first, I'm going to take a quick break. I'm your host, Will Liu, and you've been listening to the Raptors Reaction Podcast on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Welcome back to the Raptors Reaction Podcast for Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I'm your host, Wim Liu. Continue to recap the Raptors 109-105 win over the Washington Wizards. And during the five-minute break, I was curious, and so I searched the following words into YouTube. And those words were Raptors game winner Wizards. And let me just read you a couple of the headlines, okay? Raptors Morris Peterson insane buzzer beater versus Wizards March 30th, 2007. Everyone knows what this play is, okay? Michael Ruffin, for some reason, caught the ball as the Raptors were down three at the end of regulation, threw it up into the air, thinking that the ball would stay in air long enough to, like, kill the last 5 seconds of the clock. And it just, you know, doesn't work that way. I think gravity is, you know, just a little stronger than what he thought it was. He thought he maybe was playing in space. And the ball landed in Mo Pete's hand. Mo Pete with the double pump clutch three from about 30 feet out with, you know, the left hand as Mo Pete usually does, and knocks down the three. Raptors going to win in overtime. Gary Trent Jr. game winner versus Washington Wizards. This is April 5th, 2021. This is Gary's like fourth game with the Raptors after the trade deadline. And, you know, game winning three, no big deal. Chris Bosh game winner, Toronto Raptors at Washington Wizards. This is 12 years ago in 2009. Chris Bosh facing up against the Wizards, who was wearing the Bullets throwback outfits. It was the one where, I mean, I guess, how is your, would you really describe it? They're dressed like bullet casings, you know, that weird copper kind of look to it. Yeah, so Chris Bosh with a top-of-the-floor jumper to beat the Wizards. Corey Joseph, buzzer-beating, game-winning three-pointer. This was the Raptors running a really key play in the 2015-16 season where they got DeMar DeRozan going downhill across the baseline for a screen, kicked it to the opposite corner when the help came over at the rim. Corey Joseph was there. He knocked down the three. Great moment. And then DeMar DeRozan, game winner, Washington Wizards at Toronto Raptors. This was 6 years ago. And yeah, I don't even remember this one at all. But apparently after the game, he walked off with Drake. And they're, you know, they look really happy walking down to the tunnel together. So there's a long history of this. I'm just saying, there's a long, long history of this, you know. And, you know, that's just what it is. I'm pretty sure Serge had one too, I think. Pretty sure Serge had one as well. But anyway, so the Raptors continue their dominance over Washington with the win tonight. And so a couple of the players I want to touch on. So Pascal Siakam, 41 minutes again. Didn't really feel like 41 minutes somehow. I don't know. Maybe it's like I'm too used to see him play 45 rather than 41. But yeah, Pascal I thought was pretty effective in his minutes. 21 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal, 8 of 17 shooting. I really enjoyed the way Pascal was able to bail out the Raptors in some key moments. Sometimes it's not necessarily about how much you score. It's about also when you score and sort of what situation you're able to sort of get these baskets up. And at least three separate situations, the Raptors were able to run their stuff, but they weren't fully able to, you know, execute their first play. And so Pascal had to be at the top of the floor. This, you know, maybe Washington's on a little bit of run or whatever. And Pascal just gets in the mid-range, crossover, crossover. Defenders always backtracking because they're always worried about the drive. And Pascal's just able to rise up from the mid-range jumper. And I thought he did a really good job of that today. There's a play, I think, in the fourth quarter where the Wizards came out. Bradley Beal with the 7-0 run. Nick Nurse calls timeout. How do we get a handle on Brad? We did a good job containing him. Don't let him go here. And then also, let's set up a good play here. And the initial play that they wanted to run was Gary Trent Jr. along two baseline screens. popping up for a three. But I thought Bradley Beal did a really good job tracking him. Obviously, a shooting guard really knows what a shooting guard probably is going to try to do around a double screen. So good defense for Bradley Beal to blow that up. Pascal was trigger man at the top of the floor. So when that first option, you know, dissipated, you know, there's probably only about 6, 7, 8 seconds left on the clock. And Pascal decided, okay, I'm going to go into my move, dribble, 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 pull up, knock it down, swish. And, you know, some I thought some very timely baskets for Pascal tonight. Knocked down a three as well. Got on the offensive glass a little bit. Just played a really nice all-around game. Usually you see Pascal play the Wizards and dominate against the Wizards. He's had 44 on them twice, I think, which is his career high, and it's also pretty amazing to have 44 twice on a team. But that's generally what happens. The Wizards usually don't have the individual defenders to guard him. I thought at the start of the game, the Raptors try to go to Pascal a lot more than they did, you know, over the course of the game. At the start of the game, they try to emphasize him. Thought the Wizards did a good job of, you know, whether it was Denny Avdija or just with the help coming over from Daniel Gafford, just seemed like Pascal wasn't totally comfortable, wasn't able to get to the spots as much. I thought as the game wore on, though, Pascal was able to get more separation, go up in better assignments against guards. For example, he had KCP in the post, you know, hit him with the spin move. You know, everyone clowns the spin move. That thing works. I don't know. Why would you clown something that works? So I thought it was a nice game for Pascal, and you know, a couple of key plays at the end there too. There's one play where Harrell was at the basket and he went going up for a dunk. I mean, to be honest, this is more on Harrell for not finishing the play, but Pascal was right there to contest, make that shot difficult, and turn that from a guaranteed two to a miss for the Raptors, which the Raptors obviously needed their defense to step up with the fourth quarter when their offense wasn't fully there. But I thought Pascal played well. I thought OG Anunoby came up pretty huge, obviously with the game-clinching putback dunk, but also just with his defense overall. Four steals, a lot of those were against Bradley, who was just his primary assignment, a block as well, also on Bradley Beal. And just a couple of nice plays where he's able to drive downhill. There's a play in the fourth quarter, which was challenged by the Wizards, but unsuccessful, where OG Anunoby just drove it really hard. Bradley Beal tried to step in ahead of him and take the charge, but his feet were still moving. OG was able to barrel through him. OG is just strong as an ox, right? If you're not fully set and he has some momentum, he's just going to truck you. And he trucked Bradley Beal. And then he also got a very generous continuation, because as soon as the contact with Beal, I guess it was so much contact that it kind of made OG like hop a little bit. Then he went into his next step and then stretched around Bradley's body on the floor to go in for a scoop layup. And Scott Foster, who was, you know, generally speaking, a very disliked official, was suddenly very popular as he called the N1 for OG Anunoby. And of course, that was also upheld too upon review. So OG coming up with a couple of key plays there in the fourth quarter. And I think just overall, his defense on Bradley has been really good, especially in the last couple of years here. And he's done a really good job with what is undeniably a very tough matchup. Bradley feels so, so tough. Like the way he's able to just at you, he's able to drive hard, pivot, quick stop, a shifty explosion. The fact that he's got such a long reach, he's only 6'3", but his arms, he's got really long arms. He's able to stretch around and finish, hit all sorts of leaning bank shots, mid-range shots. It's not easy to stop this guy, but OG Anunoby did a great job today. Again, Bradley Beal with 9 turnovers. I thought Fred, you know, weird game for Fred. The last couple of games have been strange. Like he'll just throw random air balls, which is not his game at all. Obviously, we know he's a better shooter than this, but we also know he's played a lot of minutes. And so he finished the game 6-17. A lot of these plays are sort of end of the clock, kind of like bailout shots that, you know, someone has to take them. And okay, so Fred gets a couple of extra misses on his ledger or whatever. But really what was most important was the fact that he was willing to take that pull-up three off the screen from Pascal. Really nice, simple bit of playmaking from Pascal and all from Fred and also from Nick Nurse. But they called the timeout. They anticipated the zone. They made sure they got what they wanted. A nice solid screen against the zone for Fred to pull up, and Fred was able to pull up and knock it down to go ahead three. And then what I thought the best part of Fred's game tonight was, you know, well, two things. One, the defensive intensity of Fred is always consistently high. Two steals, two blocks, just, you know, helping over at the rim, guys posting up. Obviously, Fred's always digging down and clawing at the ball. He's such an uncanny knack for when big guys think they have a one-on-one situation in the post against, you know, whatever, and they drive and then they spin, and as soon as for that like small half second where they flash the ball as they're about to go up to prepare for their shot, Fred, that's the exact moment where Fred's always there to teef it away. And he had a great game today. Fred on the defensive end had a number of key defensive possessions. There was a stretch there in the second quarter where the Raptors were really coming back, and, you know, Gary forced a turnover. Then Fred was able to force a turnover and, you know, just running back in transition and picking off a pass. And then they just kept getting layups off of all these runouts. And, you know, that's where the Raptors play. Get the turnover, win the possession battle, get out in transition, because their half-court offense is kind of average, but their transition offense, especially the volume in which they can get out in transition, is huge. So Fred with a lot of deflections today, and just a really good defensive effort, but really is the playmaking. And that's something that for Fred, where it, as his shot is sort of, you know, his legs aren't fully there for him. You know, he's having to really labor for anything that he gets. You know, there's a play in the second quarter where he was driving downhill and he had like a, I wouldn't even say he had a step. He had an angle on his man, and he just kept driving and driving against this angle, kind of almost like muscling his way and forcing his way to a specific spot. And then he just like flipped a shot over his shoulder, and the ball with the backspin was able to just roll off the front of the rim and into the basket. Like, that was such an impressive finish, really tough bucket for Fred. But that's the way he's been laboring of late. Like, he's just not fully, you know, fresh. And which I think obviously with him playing what 39 plus minutes for the seventh straight game, thanks to Sportsnet's Chris Black for that stat on Twitter. You know, that's the longest stretch for Raptor playing 39 minutes in second consecutive games, dating back to Chris Bosh back in like 2007, right? So, so not much has changed for the Wizards in terms of committing game winners. But in any case, yeah, Fred did a really good job of getting downhill, driving, and then just finding the right passes, especially to Scottie Barnes. I think that's the key thing for Fred, is just like, you know, other people, I guess, are allowed to have a bad game. Fred VanVleet, though, is not allowed to have a bad game. If Fred has a bad game, the Raptors lose, period, right? So, you know, even in these games where he's having a hard time with the outside shot, you know, he maybe doesn't have the burst to fully separate and get himself to the basket cleanly, he's just able to still set up the play for everyone else, whether that's finding Pascal, obviously the two-man game there, you know, feeding Scottie Barnes over and over again in the post mismatches. Right. You know, he just did such a good job with that. And yeah, 12 assists for Fred. He played really well, on top of the fact that he hit the go-ahead three, which won the Raptors the game. I thought Gary Trent was really active in his return from injury. You know, there's a couple of plays where you're like, okay, I don't know if you should take that shot. But then you remember, oh, this is Gary Trent Jr. Like, he's always going to be that kind of guy. Hyper aggressive. He's going to, you know, I mean, he shoots the way he dresses. I don't know. That's probably the best way to describe his game. Right. And so he's just going to be over the top. And he's going to be that way defensively, too. He was all over guys. I can't believe he only credited for one steal and one block, because I think some of these plays that the Wizards were turning the ball over, so many of these were Gary Trent Jr. coming over. I mean, first off, Gary Trent Jr. with a rare weak side block right at the basket, super emphatic. The Raptors were a little bit step behind in terms of the rotations. The Wizards were able to get to the rim, and Gary Trent Jr. is the third defender rotating over from the weak side, was able to swat it. It was a really key play, another key steal as well for Gary. But just a number of players were able to pressure and just force half-court violations. And yeah, Gary was excellent with his defensive energy. I thought he gave the Raptors a shot in the arm. And then just the one or two plays, not even one or two, like probably one or two plays per quarter where he's able to just create something for himself, you know? And, you know, there's a play I'm thinking about where he works the pick and roll. He, you know, the Wizards run him inside because that's their defense. They're going to try to, you know, ice pick and rolls and whatever. And, you know, he snakes the pick and roll, which means he has a step on Bradley Beal. He locks him between, you know, him and the basket. So he keeps Bradley on his back, and then he jumps up in the mid-range area, draws the foul on Bradley because Bradley was playing a mad physical, and then he was able to also make the little floater hook shot as for an and-one situation. You know, I'm thinking about a situation in the fourth quarter where he's just dribbling, sees a smaller defender on him, step back move, create the separation. The footwork's always there to make sure he gets his feet down and also behind the line and knock down the three. Like, these are the individual moments of shot creation that was missing against Miami, against Dallas, against Phoenix. These games where the Raptors were really close and really right there, those are the ones that they were missing. And he didn't even shoot a great percentage today, 4 or 12, right? Obviously, you can expect Gary to do better than that. But the fact that he gave you three threes, the fact that he gave you a little bit of playmaking, a little bit of creation, you know, driving, layup, he got fouled, two free throws in the fourth quarter, like, just you clearly miss Gary when he's not there, because obviously there's no backup shooting guard, but clearly Gary brings something unique to this team, and they're able to have it back in the lineup. Good to see that he was healthy. He missed the last couple of games with ankle swelling. So off the bench, the Raptors went to Chris Boucher, 22 minutes, you know, 10 points. Usual Chris Boucher game. Knocked down a pair of threes at the end of the third quarter, which really helped the Raptors stretch their lead, which was great. But, you know, just a lot of hustle around the basket. You know, Precious Achiuwa today just was a little bit less energetic than he usually is. He did give you a surprising jolt of offense where he knocked down a three at the top of the floor. Nobody's really guarding him. He's like, all right, I'll just take this, make it. You know, another play where he made like a driving, running, off, you know, offhanded kind of push shot, and it banked in. That was really nice to see. But, you know, not the usual rebounding performance you usually see from Precious today. There's a play, I think, in the first quarter where two offensive rebounds rolled right past him, and he didn't really make an attempt at either one. That's been unusual considering he's been dominant on the defensive glass, but, you know, everyone has an off game. It's okay for him. And then the interesting thing was before the game, so, you know, I was in the Zoom and I asked Nick Nurse, like, hey, Nick, what have your players thought about the fact that, you know, guys, you shortened the rotation? Have you gotten any feedback from your main guys, especially I'm thinking about Fred and Pascal, about the workload, about the heavy workload? And Nick Nurse said, no, they love it. They love playing basketball. They're 100% behind this plan. I was like, okay, cool. Then I asked my follow-up question. And, you know, and I just asked my follow-up of, like, you know, are there small things that you're doing in terms of, like, you know, quicker shifts, using your timeouts, stuff like that, just like buying time for these guys over the course of the game? Because you can kind of massage it, right? As a coach, you could do some things, buy yourself some extra time or whatever. And then they kind of went into this answer about, you know, I've been shorting my rotation because against the top teams, I really want to see how my guys compete against them. But then he also added that, like, you know what? Tonight, you'll probably see expanded rotation. Oh, it's Japanese Heritage Night in Washington. This is only the second time that Rui Hachimura has matched up with Yuta Watanabe. It happened before in Memphis when Yuta was in Memphis. Now they're able to finally do it, even though Yuta has been on the team, on the Raptors, since last year. Finally, he gets a chance here where he's healthy, Yuta's healthy, or Rui's healthy. Let's play. And, you know, true to his word, Yuta's in the game. And I was like, oh, wow, okay, Nick's extending his rotation. You know, that was the eighth man, was Yuta Watanabe. And then even in the second quarter, Justin Champagne came in for 2 minutes. And it wasn't because guys were in foul trouble or nothing. He just came in. And it was like, wow, like, Nick's really true to his word. He's going to go to the nine-man rotation, play a regular rotation against a regular team like the Wizards, who are 500, right? You know, that's what he's going to do. But not really. Because in the second half, Nick Nurse went back to a seven-man rotation. No Yuta, no Justin. And yeah, technically he played nine guys today, but I mean, two of those guys played a combined 8 minutes. So, you know, Nick's a hilarious guy. What can I say? But clearly the Raptors are rolling. They're playing well, and they were able to come away with the win. And, you know, it was a good game. It's always nice to beat the Wizards. You know, it's a tradition, really, honestly. Like, you have to show some respect to the tradition here, and the Raptors did a good job of that. And I think, look, for the whole, you know, when you look back on the road trip where they were 2-3, okay, so they lost against Detroit at the start of the road trip. That was a terrible way to start, okay? The Raptors did kind of battle back a little bit, but no, come on. That was a really, really off night. Probably the worst loss of the season, next to the other loss to the Pistons. So that's tough. But they lose to Detroit. Then they come right back, and they beat Milwaukee, one of their best wins of the season. It was a fantastic moment. We had a lot of fun with that game. And then they play, what, Miami? And Miami was very tough. You know, Bam came back, was a little rusty, whatever. But Raptors played them really tough, held the lead. You know, but in the fourth quarter, the Heat made a couple more plays. Raptors lose that game. Frustrating game to lose, you know, but understandable. Then they go to Dallas. And that game was also a game where the Raptors could have had a chance to win. But Luka puts up a superstar performance. They lose. All the frustration starting to mount. The Raptors fall back to 500. And then the fifth game here against Washington, they need to win this game to stay above 500, and they come through and they do it. And I think there's a sign of, like, a couple things. Number one, let's be honest, the Raptors are closer to the Wizards level than they are to the other teams. The thing is, I do like how they competed with the other clubs. And I do believe Nick when he says, I want to see how my top guys compete against those top guys. As I said in previous, you know, episodes of the Raptor show this week with Alex Wong, those games tell you more. You learn much more about your team playing, you know, against the best teams than you do against the worst teams. Like, you don't learn anything if you smack up the Clippers when they come to town without Kawhi and Paul George. You don't learn anything when you beat the Spurs. Like, just maybe even a healthy Spurs, but especially a Spurs team that doesn't have their best player, DeJounte Murray, right? All these kind of results, like, yeah, you know, whatever, right? But the Raptors in these games showed a lot of heart, showed a lot of guts. And I think, honestly, some of those games give you some experience
to learn how to play hard, to learn how to execute, and even in terms of how, learn how to pace yourself. And I thought the Raptors did a good job of that in this game. And, you know, whether it's Scotty with his game high 27, with his season high 27 here, you know, I thought he did a really great job of, in terms of his individual scoring. Obviously, the Raptors are going to play him at center. He's going to need to, you know, play big, do the things the centers do, screen, roll, catch, finish, post up, get on the boards, you know, do a little defense. Although I still think Scotty's defense sometimes is still a little bit behind his offense, which is totally opposite of what the scouting report was on him coming out of college. Yeah, you know, it was a good win against Washington, who is a pretty decent team. Like, the last game I watched against Washington, you know, they played Joel Embiid and the Sixers. They just, like, played them out of the gym. Beat them by, like, 20. And I'm not saying the Wizards are a team that's, like, that good necessarily. They didn't have Kyle Kuzma, for example, today. But, and he's been big for them. But, you know, the Raptors handle their business, and that's what you like to see. And so the Raptors finally get to return home. They've missed this Arctic – they've missed this Arctic storm front that hit the Raptors with the hit Toronto with the, you know, meter of snow and everything like that. I think they're going to come back and it's going to be like just a regular modest, like -5 when they come home. But, you know, I think they can hold their heads up high. And I think also honestly, like the problems are still what they are. Like, Nick can kind of do what he wants and sort of, like, you know, with the bench, and you may turn to these guys, he probably won't. But the reality is that, like, that's how this is the front office thing. He's got to get in better players because, a lot of these guys just don't perform for them when they come into the game. So to wrap up, I've got my 3 stars for the game. My first star of the game is going to go, I'm probably going to give it to Fred. 21 points, 12 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks. I loved what he did defensively. I love the way he set up guys. I love how many times he was looking for Scotty. And of course the go-ahead 3. There were some hairy moments in between for sure. But I thought he's really gutted these performances out. He really showed what he's about as a player today. You know, the commitment to the defensive end, the focus to sort of push the Raptors ahead. You know, when the Raptors are on the run, Fred made a ton of great plays. +8 was the highest mark for any of the starters, and he played 39 minutes because, you know, it was a light night for Fred VanVleet today. Second star for me is going to go to Scotty Barnes. I love the way he was able to respond after that bad start where he blew a couple of assignments. Nick Nurse called the early timeout, took him out the game, didn't pout, didn't really, you know, disengaged from the game, didn't withdraw like he did withdraw it against, you know, Luka. He put himself in the game. He was so aggressive. You could tell he was taking his frustrations out, not on coach, not on anything else, on his defender. Corey Kispert, more like Corey Crispert, because, you know, Scotty was torching him. Did that work? I don't think so. But in any case, 27 points, 8 rebounds, an assist, a steal, career high 27 for him, 12 of 19 from the field, 3 of 4 from the free throw line in 40 minutes for Scotty B. He was great. Really great. And then your third star tonight, I'm going to give it to OG. I really liked OG's performance today. I think obviously Pascal had, a better game in terms of the scoring, did more obviously offensively. He's higher up in the pecking order, but I think OG just made a couple of key plays. Obviously the putback there to put the Raptors up 5 with about 20 seconds left to clinch the game, but just also the defense on Bradley Beal, bad with 9 turnovers and 12 points, 9 rebounds, an assist, 4 steals, a block for OG Anunoby in 41 minutes, 6 of 13 from the field. Hit a number of turnaround jumpers in, you know, around that elbow area. He seems to really love going to that shot. I'm sure he really rehearsed it. It still feels like sometimes he doesn't fully find the balance for it, but, you know, you want him to continue to work on these things, because if he ever gets that down, between how strong he is and how big he is and how much, you know, because the Raptors have all these big players on the floor at once, how many times he has a size mismatch to shoot over the top. If he can ever find the balance and, like, the coordination and the dribbling and everything like that, if he can master all that down, that's a very, very effective shot for him. And he nailed 2 of those today. Didn't hit any threes. He's been a little cold from 3 of late. But I thought OG's defense and also timely scoring was very big for the Raptors today. And then your Gerald Henderson Award winner is going to have to go to Spencer Dinwiddie. 17 points in 39 minutes, 6 of 10 shooting, 5 of 7 from 3. Some of these are very heavily contested threes, end of the shot clock threes, you know, self-created threes. And Spencer's not having a good year. You know, he was a big signing for Washington. He's only averaging 13 points per game, shooting under 40% from the field coming into this game, including only 31% from 3. But you couldn't tell based on today's game, man. He was really knocking them down and sort of keeping the Wizards in the game a little bit. But eventually that well ran dry, and the Raptors were able to come away with the win. So now they're 22 and 21. They you know, will continue their season on the weekend when they play the Portland Trail Blazers as they return home to an empty Scotiabank Arena. And that is when you will hear me next. So thanks everyone for listening to the program. As always, a reminder to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. That's how we stay high in the charts. That's how I judge my success as a person, is how high we stay in the podcast charts. So please continue to do that. And also listen to, you know, the Raptor Show every Monday to Friday between 2 and 3 p.m. Eastern with myself and Alex Wong. So thanks everyone for listening once again, and I'll be back on Sunday.